Inspectors General exist to ferret out waste, fraud, and abuse. They save and recover money for the government. But how do you measure the effectiveness of the IGs themselves? Researchers at the Brookings Institution think they've found a way to figure out the return on investment agencies get from their inspectors general. John Hudak is a fellow at Brookings and co-authored the research report. He joins me now with more on the findings and the methodology behind them. John, good morning.
Tom, thanks for having me.
So why did you decide to study ROI for inspectors general in the first place?
So Brookings Center for Effective Public Management does a lot of research around what's happening in bureaucracy, what's working, what's not working. And one of the stories that I like to tell is to step away from what we hear every day, and that is government failure, government problems, government inefficiency, and actually focus on a positive story, and that is where government is working and how it's helping the average taxpayer.
And so how did you measure the ROI for inspectors general? Give us an idea of the methodology there.
Sure. So this is a bit of a complicated question and a bit of a controversial one. And it's one that we spent a lot of time trying to get right. And we preface it by saying this is one way to measure the value of what an inspector general offers to its agency, to its department, and to the government as a whole. And so what we wanted to focus on was actually recovered costs. And there are a lot of things that, there are a lot of types of costs that an IG brings back to an agency, and some of them are a bit less solid, a bit less palpable than others. And so we focused on money that the inspectors general actually bring in the door, money that at the end of the day they're able to receive. And we weigh that against the money that flows out the door, their actual budget lines. And through that, we calculate a return on investment in the same way that a business division would, in the same way that a lot of private sector enterprises do. And what we found was that almost across the board, at least for large cabinet agencies, inspectors general have very high returns on investment.
And along the way, you found that the inspectors general get a mixed reaction from the people they are there to serve.
Well, that's right. So inspectors general really serve three different groups of people. One, they serve the average American. They're there to combat mismanagement, waste, fraud, and abuse, and the types of government dysfunction that the average taxpayer wants to avoid, that they want their dollars put to work in an effective way. Next, those inspectors general serve their own agency. They're trying to help their own agencies run better. And finally, IGs help Congress in conducting their own oversight role. IGs, at the end of the day, are an oversight institution and help Congress do what they either can't or in recent Congresses have refused to, and that is do the day-to-day operations of oversight. And all three groups tend to have a rocky relationship with IGs, and it certainly makes the day-to-day operation of these offices more difficult.
And, of course, that day-to-day operation requires a budget. And did you come up with metrics for what an IG office should cost? Is there some ratio to the overall agency budget or population, that kind of thing?
So we didn't come up with necessarily a target budget because every IG is different. They range in size, they range in mission, they range in capacity and charge. Some departments, for instance, have a single IG, some have an overarching IG, and then a bunch of others as well. And so coming up with that sort of magic number is a difficult one. But there is one thing that's clear, and that is Congress is underfunding these institutions. I mean, let's be frank. Congress is underfunding every institution in the government. But what's odd is that for a Congress that focuses so much on business practices and the private sector and this love of capitalism, what they're doing is that they're looking within their own government, seeing institutions that have a positive ROI, something that every private sector enterprise strives for, and then they're cutting their budget. So we don't know what the right number is, but we know that Congress is doing everything they can to get away from that right number.
It's almost as if you're trying to feed people and you give your hunters not enough arrows.
I think that's right, and I think that metaphors like that are spot on and something that is really a condition of the current Congress, and a problem in the mindset about investing in government and is indicative of the real problems we have today.
We're speaking with John Hudak. He's a fellow at the Brookings Institution, its Center for Effective Public Management. And so give us some results. What is the return on investment for inspectors general, and what are some of the agencies that are really high performing in this area?
And so we have a lot of agencies that are actually quite good. To give you an idea, there we looked at the cabinet departments and IRS enforcement. And what we found was that on average, from year to year, agencies have around a 20-to-1 return on investment in a lot of cases. And that number can spike quite high. So the Social Security Administration does quite well, for instance, and that makes sense for agencies that send a lot of money out the door. There are other agencies like the Department of Justice that don't have a very high return on investment, and that's not to suggest that they're not doing good work and are not an important institution. But the reality is the Department of Justice just tends not to deliver federal funds in the way that other institutions do. But one of the other challenges that we had in our methodology was what unit of time to use. And so the return on investment actually in a given year is subject to some pretty big spikes and some pretty big drops. And so what we tried to do, or what we did rather, was look at a 5-year rolling average return on investment to try to smooth out some of those peaks. And so some agencies that did quite well in a given year, like the Department of Interior, for instance, that got smoothed out over time to get a more accurate assessment. But at the end of the day, what tends to happen is the higher returns on investment come from agencies that are either grant-making agencies or direct spending agencies like Social Security.
Because Justice, to use that example, gets a negative return on investment. They only get back 43 cents for every dollar they spend. But that doesn't indicate, for example, that they could find a lot of program mismanagement and other issues that don't result in cash return, but result in better management.
That's right. And it's one of the challenges of work in this area. We looked at one metric by which you weigh the effectiveness or you measure the effectiveness of an inspector general. What we don't want is for this idea to get out that the only time an IG does good work is when they have a positive return on investment. The reality is there's a lot of non-monetary work that IGs do that in some cases is just as important or more important than the recovered funds that they get. And that involves mismanagement or reorganization, obviously on a smaller scale, or even the prevention of future mismanagement or the prevention of future problems. And IGs have a huge role in that effort. And measuring that is very difficult. What we wanted to do was measure what was palpable, measure what was real, and offer a metric based on that. But at the end of the day, what IGs do, like what every federal agency does, is a pretty complex way that slapping a number on is difficult, but this is one way to do that.
And so what would you like agencies to take away from this study? How could they apply it in some way to get better at recovering funds and finding waste, fraud, and abuse?
So in our paper and also in a blog post that we have live on our FixGov blog this morning, we talk a lot about the problems within Congress and how Congress can do a better job. But our paper also suggests that these measures should help agencies as well, and that is agencies can take a look within, measure their own ROI in whatever way they're going to do that, and see what programs, what processes, and what functions within a given institution are working better than others. And they can either start to rearrange funding as best that they have discretion to do so, or they can take a more existential look and say, what are we doing wrong in these programs that don't have a positive ROI? Is it the nature of the process? Is it not a monetary function? Or is it, and we're just not doing our best to maximize our value? And so agencies can use not just metrics like these, But the self-assessment processes that go along with them to really maximize their own performance. And I think too often agencies are focused on other things, and in a tight budget environment, who can blame them? But at the end of the day, there's a lot of good information out there for agencies to use. And I think ROI is just one of them.
And just one final detail, I think, to underscore your point. HHS has a return of investment about half of that of what the Social Security Administration does. They both push several hundreds, many hundreds of billions of dollars out the door every year. And so it might be that HHS could learn something from Social Security or focus its IG on areas where there might be more money found.
I think that's right. The one caveat is HHS has one of the broadest jurisdictions in the federal government, and while they are sending quite a bit of money out the door, there are a lot of non-monetary functions that HHS has that tends to bring that number down a bit relative to other institutions. But the point is a good one, and that is what HHS is doing with some of its funding programs is not all that different than what Social Security is doing. So they could look at the line items, the program-level performance within HHS, and see how it matches up against a peer agency like Social Security. And if they're not doing, if they're not measuring up, then perhaps a call over to the Social Security Administration would be a nice first step toward improving what they're doing.
All right, really interesting report. John Hudak is a fellow with the Brookings Institution's Center for Effective Public Management. Thanks so much for joining me.
Tom, thanks for having me.